In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is so good to be back in Sydney after more than 2 weeks in Singapore. This time we thank God for granting us a very meaningful visit to Singapore, and we experienced some sadness when we were in Singapore, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We never got to see Dr. Toh. Dr. Toh was in hospital, and his family members decided that he should have some privacy, and so they did not disclose to us where he was hospitalized in, and so we didn't have the opportunity to visit him. But we know that he was not well. Then another sad piece of news was with regards to this lady whom we knew for many years. She was 51. Just after a Bible study on Friday, they had this Help Meets meeting. And this lady was talking with Reverend Craig when he was suddenly stricken with pain in the neck. And then the pain went on to the head, and then she suffered very terrible nausea. She vomited, and then she felt better. And then it was advised that she should be hospitalized right away. And she was sent to the hospital. Then when the CT scan was done on her, she had a very massive brain hemorrhage. She had a brain hemorrhage in the first instance when she felt the pain, and then in the second instance, the hemorrhage was so massive that she became brain dead. And so we were very saddened by that news. And then on the Monday, my wife and I had the opportunity to rush to the hospital to see her for the last time. She was about to be wheeled into another place where her organs will be harvested for transplanting into other people. So we were very saddened, but we were able to comfort the family members with the word of God. We read to them Psalm 23 and also comforted them with the word of God. And of course, we quoted that very well-known verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hard for us to understand, to appreciate why such a thing should happen. But it happened. And one of the things that we were very pointedly reminded was that life is so short. It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So what are we doing with the life that we have, which the Lord has given to us? While we have breath in our nostrils, let us then be very, very determined to serve the Lord till He comes, or till the time where we are called home to be with the Lord. Now this morning, my message is the meaning of the Lord's Day. The meaning of the Lord's Day. Now as we grow in the Lord, we are confronted more and more by the laws of God. And this should be occurring. We should know the laws of God better, and we are confronted by the challenges of the laws of God to obey the laws of God. So the question that we often would ask ourselves is this: how should I observe the laws properly so that I will be glorifying the name of the Lord? Now, we can get into extremes if we do not understand the spirit or appreciate the spirit of the law. And getting into extremes is, of course, wrong. Now, for example, the sixth commandment teaches us or gives us these words: thou shalt not kill. Now, if we do not understand the spirit of this law, and if we do not understand the teachings from other passages of Scripture, then we might come to the conclusion that all forms of killings are wrong. But what's the truth? The truth is, other passages also teach us that righteous killing, or killing in righteous self-defense, is something that is permitted by the one true living God. So we see it is so very important that we understand the spirit of the law. Now the law that we want to consider this morning is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath, to keep Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now this law commands us to keep the Sabbath holy. Now in ancient times they kept the Sabbath, which is the sixth day of the seventh day of the week. But in New Testament time, we keep the Lord's Day as our Christian Sabbath. Now I will explain this a little later on and near the conclusion of my message. But for now, let us accept that the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week, is our Sabbath for us to observe. Now, how may we observe the Lord's Day? How may we keep it properly so that we will not go into extremes? Now, one extreme is to have a very liberal view of the way we should be observing the Lord's Day. Some people think that the observance of the Sabbath was something that was required in the Old Testament, and the observance of the Lord's Day no longer applies today. Some people think that that's how we should treat Sunday. Yes? So, on Sunday we can do whatever we want because there's no longer such a law. Now, then we have the other extreme. The other extreme is to observe the law in the most legal fashion. Yes, so there are some people who say that you should not be taking public transport on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, because if you took public transport on the Lord's Day, then you are causing other people to work. If you cause people to work, then that's not right. So that's the other extreme. So what is the right way of keeping the Lord's Day? Now, first let us understand this truth, that the Ten Commandments are moral laws. That includes the fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. In other words, if we were to break the Sabbath day, the law regarding the Sabbath day, we have broken the law just like we have broken other laws. Let's say if we have broken the law, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, if we have broken the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, it is just the same. Yes, we would have broken all, we have broken the laws of God all the same. Now, these laws, as we said, this law, the laws, in fact, all the Ten Commandments were applicable in the Old Testament time as they are applicable in the New Testament. Now, as it was wrong to violate the Sabbath day, it is wrong to violate the Lord's Day. Now, we observe Sunday as our Christian Sabbath, and in the Old Testament, people observe the Saturday as the Sabbath. Now, I will try to explain why we observe Sunday as our day of rest near the conclusion of my message. But for now, let us accept that we are to observe the Lord's Day as our day of rest. Now, let's understand also next that the laws are good. The laws were given for our blessings. The laws were not meant to curse us, but the laws were actually given for our blessings. Now, Leviticus 18 verse 5, if you would very, very quickly turn with me to that verse. Leviticus 18 verse 5. Leviticus 18 and verse 5. Now, let me read this verse for you. Leviticus 18 and verse 5. Leviticus 18 and verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Yes, if a man do, he shall live in them. If a man were to keep the laws of God, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. If a person were to keep God's laws, God's promise is that God would bless them. That was the promise given by the Lord. They would live in, if a man were to keep the laws of God, he will live in them. But then the Jews perverted their understanding of this teaching, and then over time they concluded that this law was given with the purpose of teaching people that they should keep the laws to earn their salvation. That's how they interpreted this verse. Yes, but that believe is wrong. Paul in the New Testament very, very clearly explained this verse, or rather based on this verse, he said, if anybody wanted to observe the laws to be saved, then he must observe the laws to the full requirement of the laws. If he so much as violates the laws by a little bit, he would have failed. Yes, he would not have gotten his salvation. So if he wanted to obey the laws to earn salvation, then he must keep the laws perfectly. Now let us understand that just as the Israelites were blessed if they kept the Sabbath, we would be very, very blessed if we were to keep the Lord's Day. Now I began by talking about the Sabbath day because our observance of the Lord's Day, Sunday, has its roots in the keeping of the Sabbath day. So if we want to understand the spirit of Israel, rather I would say it this way, if we understand the spirit of observing the Sabbath day, then we will understand how we should be observing the Lord's Day. Now let's consider the origin of the Lord's Day. It originated, as we said, from the Sabbath day. God's word tells us how this day was made. After God finished his creation in 6 days, the word of God says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, the word of God says, and on the seventh day, this is Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Yes, he rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired. God never tires. He rested on the seventh day in the sense that after he had created the heavens and the earth and all that were therein, he stood back, as it were, to appreciate his creation. It's just like after you have, say, painted your house, or you have drawn a very, very beautiful picture, yeah, you stand back and appreciate your handiwork. And that's what is meant by resting. And that's what I believe God did. He stood back and look at his creation, and he appreciated his creation. That is what is meant by resting, as far as the Lord is concerned. He sanctified that day. In other words, he set apart that day for himself. He set apart that day for his service. He set apart that day for his honor. He set apart that day for the worship of himself. Yes? Now, if God sanctified it, in other words, God declared that day to be holy. Now, if God declared that day to be holy, then we must regard that day to be holy, and we must treat it to be a holy day. And as the Lord rested on that day, so must we rest on that day. He has set the pattern for us to follow. Now, is that clear, my dear friends? So he commands us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He has set the pattern for us. And then later on in history, the observance of the Sabbath was commanded during the time of Moses. On Mount Sinai, God gave his Ten Commandments, which of course includes the observance of the Sabbath. To Moses, this commandment was given to the children of Israel. Now, to the children of Israel, the observance of the Sabbath had very, very special significance. God gave the Sabbath day to them as a sign of his covenant, the covenant that he made with the children of Israel. Now, we read that verse earlier on, or those verses earlier on, if you turn to Exodus 31, Exodus 31 and look at verse 13. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Right, let me read these verses for you. Verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I'm the Lord that doth set you apart for myself. I am the Lord that has chosen you to be myself, to be my very own. Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. Alright, they were to observe it as a perpetual covenant. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now what was this covenant that is referred to in verse 16? Now I believe that this covenant has reference to the covenant that God made between himself and Abraham and his descendants. Remember, God called Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, you and your children shall be my people, and I will be your God and the God of your descendants. Remember, that was the covenant he made with the children of Israel. Now, it was therefore a tremendous blessing for the Israelites to observe the Sabbath. You see, whenever they observe the Sabbath, the observance of the Sabbath would remind them of this wonderful truth, that God was their God and that they were his people. You understand? Now, for us who are believers, we must also treat the Lord's Day as being very, very special. A day sanctified by the Lord, made holy by him. Now, to a non-Israelite in ancient time, the Sabbath day meant nothing. It was just like another day, but not to the Israelites. They will remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, he rested on this day, and this is the day given to us as a sign of the covenant made between himself and Abraham and his descendants, that we, the Israelites, are God's people, and God is our God. Yes? Now, today, of course, to unbelievers, the Lord's Day means nothing. But rather, it is just a day for them to have fun, a day for them to have their pleasures. Now, if you are an unbeliever, of course, that's what Sunday is to you. It's a day for them to, for people to go to the beach, a day for people to have fun, a day for their barbecues, a day for their drinking, and so forth. Yes, but friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must treat the day as being different. This day has been set apart for by God to remind us that we are God's people. We have been saved by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is our God and we are his people. This is the day the Lord has made for us to worship him. Do you understand the significance of the day now? If you have not understood before, understand it today. It is a special day. Sunday must be a very, very special day to us. I trust we do not feel reluctant to come to church on a Sunday morning. And then when you wake up in the morning, I trust you, this morning you did not say, ah, it's Sunday morning. I wish I could just continue to sleep. But I've got to go to church. I've got to go to church. Now, I don't blame you if you are not a believer, a non-Christian. You have been coming to church as a matter of custom. You feel very obligated to be here. So you feel very reluctant to come to church. But my dear friends, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must treat Sunday as being different. You must treat coming to church as something very, very different. This is the day that the Lord has made for us to worship him. He has sanctified this day. This is the day that reminds me that my Lord Jesus Christ is my God, and I belong to him. He shed his precious blood for me on the cross of Calvary to purchase me so that now I am his very own. My dear friends, the Lord's Day should remind us of this truth. So we should be very, very glad to come into the house of the Lord to worship him as he would want us to worship him. Now for the Israelites, the Sabbath was also a reminder of how powerful that God is. It reminded them that he is the creator of the whole wide universe, the heavens and the earth and all that was therein. And then he rested after his creation. So every time the Sabbath day came, If they were godly people, they will remind themselves, my God is powerful. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he made all the things that were therein. Likewise, my dear friends, we who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should be very, very thankful that we have this day to observe, because it is a day that reminds us that this God of mine is all-powerful. Yes, he saved me and he's all-powerful. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. After he created, he rested. And then we come into the house of the Lord. On the day of rest, we remind ourselves of this wonderful, great and wonderful truth. This God of mine is all-powerful. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that were therein. But friends, we have another truth to commemorate on the Lord's Day, a great and marvelous truth. And it is, and the truth is this, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive. He raised himself up by his own power, even his resurrection power. He was crucified on Friday, buried, then on the third day, he rose up from the dead. He's alive today. And when we come into the house of the Lord on the Sunday, or on the Sunday when we wake up, yes, let us remind ourselves that this is the day the Lord has made. This was the day on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. So it should be a day of celebration for us. My sins have been forgiven, paid for by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God is satisfied with the payment made by his Son, and he showed that he was satisfied by raising him up from the dead. And as the Lord rose up from the dead on the third day, one day we shall be raised up by him. We shall be resurrected if we should die before the Lord returns. And when he returns, he will raise us up just as he raised himself up. The word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. One day, my dear friends, we shall be raised up by him. So every Lord's Day should remind us of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Almighty God. As he raised himself up from the dead, we will also be raised up someday. This morning, when you came to the Lord's house, it might just be another Sunday for you. It has been so customary for you to come to the house of the Lord that we might just forget the greatness of the day and the greatness of the great commemoration that we are to have on this day. Friends, let us, as of today, stop treating the Lord's Day in this manner. Let's treat every Sunday as a day that is different from other days. The Lord has sanctified that day. He has made that day. Yes, he has set that day apart for himself. He has set apart that day for us to serve him. And he has set apart that day for us to worship him and to honor him. And it is a day that reminds us that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord belongs to us. It is a day that reminds us that this God of ours is all-powerful. He created the heavens and the earth and all that were therein, and then he rested on the Sabbath. Yes, it is a day for us to tell people that my Savior is alive. He dwells in us, and today I'm living by his resurrection power. Next, let's see the Lord's attitude towards the Sabbath day, so that we will have an understanding of how we should observe this day. Now, as far as the Israelites were concerned, there was to be no work done on the Sabbath. That was very, very clear. It is given very, very clearly in the commandments. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. All right, let's look at these verses. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Now, that's very, very clear. All the Israelites understood that. And if we read the laws of God, we will understand this very, very clearly. No work on this day. Exodus 20, verse 8 to verse 11. Okay, let me read the verses for you. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You see, very clear. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So no manner of work was to be done on the Sabbath day. They were not to buy, not to sell, not to harvest, not to plant. And during the time of Moses, actually the breaking of the Sabbath was a very, very serious offense. This crime was punishable by death. It was as serious as that. And in fact, in modern Israel, there are Jews who are so orthodox in their belief in regards to the observance of the Lord's Day. They are so fanatical and so orthodox to the extent that they will not even lift up their finger to turn on the switch. So what they do is they install these timers, all right, to switch on the switches and to turn off the switches on the Sabbath. Yes, that's how they observe the Sabbath. Now, as we said earlier on, the Israelites then over time perverted their understanding with regards to the keeping of the Sabbath. They kept it to earn their salvation rather than to keep it for the main purpose of God's main purpose of receiving God's blessings. Now, the Jews, thinking that salvation was obtained by the keeping of the laws, over time invented all kinds of traditions, yes, to surround these laws, the Ten Commandments. Their reasoning was very simple. They said that if we are able to keep the traditions, they invented, by the way, more than 600 of them. They said, if we are able to keep these traditions, then we'll never ever break the laws. So the traditions form a kind of a fortress around the laws. So if they didn't break the traditions, they will never break the laws. So one of their inventions pertained to the rule governing the observance of the Sabbath. They invented this term, a Sabbath day journey. All right, you read God's word, you come across this term, a Sabbath day journey. A Sabbath day journey is about 1 kilometer. Now, if you on a Sabbath day walk less than 1 kilometer, you're all right. You didn't break the law. But if you walk more than 1 kilometer, sorry, you have broken the law. You see, so they invented the rule in regards to the observance of the Sabbath. They were observing the Sabbath or to the laws to the point where they became very, very fault-finding. So there was the day when the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Sabbath, the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples walked through the cornfields to pluck corn to eat because they were hungry. And the Jews said, you and your disciples have worked. You have plucked corn to eat on the Sabbath day. And what was the Lord's response to their accusation? Now we read this in Luke chapter 6 verse 3. If you turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 3. Chapter 6 and verse 3. All right, verse 3. And Jesus, answering them, said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. Now, this incident refers to David and his men. They were escaping from the murderous hand of Saul, King Saul. Saul was after the life of David. So David and his men were fugitives. And they were hungry. They came to the tabernacle, went into the tabernacle, and they ate the showbread. The showbread was the bread that was placed on the table in the sanctuary. The showbread was not to be eaten by anybody but by the priests. Nobody was allowed to eat the showbread. It was unlawful for them to do that. But they ate the showbread. And why did they eat the showbread? They ate it because it was necessary for them to eat the showbread. They were hungry. Yes. Now, from this attitude of the Lord towards the Sabbath, we can learn that on the Lord's Day, works of necessity are permitted. So let's say if you are working as a doctor or you are working as a nurse, working as a fireman, a bus driver, if you have to work on the Lord's Day, then you have to work on the Lord's Day. It is not an offense to work on the Lord's Day. And again, they accused the Lord of breaking the Sabbath when he healed a man who had a withered hand, it was actually an act of mercy performed by the Lord. This man had a withered hand, and the Lord healed him of his withered hand. Now, did he break the Sabbath? Of course, the answer is no. Now, we read in Matthew chapter 12, or Luke chapter 6 record this, but Luke chapter 6 does not record something that is recorded in Matthew chapter 12. So, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 12, yes, and referring to the incident that is described in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it up? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. The Lord Jesus Christ healed that man. The Lord said, you would even show mercy to an animal. Your sheep, if it fell into a ditch, you would lift that sheep out of the ditch. You would do that. You show mercy to an animal. Now, what about showing mercy to a man? Surely a man deserves to be shown greater mercy than a sheep that has fallen into the ditch. So acts of mercies are permitted. So if you decided on the Lord's Day to do visitation or to perform hospital on the Lord's Day, you are required to perform hospital duties. You, on the Lord's Day, you are doing works to save life. On the Lord's Day, you are providing relief to people. Those kinds of work are permitted on the Lord's Day. Now the question would be, what should we not do on the Lord's Day? What should we not do on the Lord's Day? And I'd like us to turn to one passage. The best answer is from the Word of God. All right. So let's turn to the Word of God, to Isaiah 58. All right. What should we not do on the Lord's Day? Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And verse 14. Isaiah 58:13-14. Now, let me read you these two verses, Isaiah 58:13-14. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, in other words, if you don't trample the Sabbath with your foot, all right, if thou turn away from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So first, we should refrain from working on the Lord's Day. We have already covered that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. That's the day we should be resting, no work done on the Sabbath day. Now, but often we forget the other part with regards to the observance of the Lord's Day. Right? And this is given to us in verse 13, in the verse that we've just read, Isaiah 58, verse 13. Yes? We should refrain from doing our own ways and our own pleasure. Now, we could be arranging, let's say, some events or try to keep some appointments on this day to do our own thing. We might say, it's very, very convenient, very advantageous on this particular day to do this thing, such as participating in an auction to purchase a house. We might be wanting to do that, and we are so afraid, and we say that if we do not participate in this auction on the Lord's Day, yes, we might just lose the deal. We might not be able to get that house. Yes, we might think that way. Or we might say, do this. Let me organize a social event, not a spiritual event, but a social event, very social, all right, a social event on the Lord's Day so that I can get more friends to come to join me at this event. Now the question is, should we or should we not be doing this? Should we be occupied with our own pleasure? Should we be occupied with our own entertainment? Should we be occupied with our sports? Should we be occupied with our recreation? Particularly, as we might say, I've already done my spiritual duty on a Sunday. I've already gone to the house of the Lord to worship Him. So the afternoon is my time, all right? I can do whatever I want to do. We might argue in that manner. Now, I'd like us to listen to what the great C.H. Spurgeon says. All right, he said, "I believe Sunday should be spent in recreation." Now, people hearing that in his congregation might be very shocked. And indeed, they were quite shocked when Spurgeon said that. "I believe Sunday should be spent in recreation." And Spurgeon said this, "You are dreadfully short, and well you may be. But what do I mean by recreation?" And then he went on to define recreation. "It means creating us new. Oh, that everybody who talks about spending Sunday in recreation would come to be recreated, regenerated, renewed, refreshed, revived, and made to rejoice in the Lord." In other words, he was talking about spiritual recreation, not so much physical recreation. And what should we be rejoicing in? Friends, in our own pleasure? No, my dear friends, the number one thing that we should be rejoicing is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now let's understand what we are actually doing if we do not observe the Lord's Day. All right? If we are not observing the Lord's Day. Now let's see what we are actually doing. If we choose to do our own things and finding our own pleasure. Now listen again to what Spurgeon says. All right? Very interesting. He said, "One man traveling on the road saw a poor man in distress. And having but 7 shillings, he had 7 shillings in the pocket, this kind man had 7 shillings in his pocket, the generous man gave the poor man 6 shillings. But when the wretched man had scrambled to his feet after receiving 6 shillings, he followed his benefactor, he followed the man who gave him the 6 shillings, knocked him down, and stole the 7 shilling from him." How many of us do this? The Sabbath is the day for sports, for amusements, for anything but for the Lord's service. They rob God of His day, though it be but 1 in 7. This is base unthankfulness. He robs God when he doesn't observe the Lord's day. That's exactly what we are doing, my dear friends. Understand this too. We rob God of His day when we do not observe that day. But the question we might ask is, what is the point of my observing the Lord's day? It seems so curbing, so restrictive. What do I gain from observing the Lord's Day? Are there blessings for me? Now I'd like us to look at the passage that we've read earlier on, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. All right, verse 13. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath," in other words, don't trample the Sabbath, "if you turn your foot from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, if you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, don't trample upon the Sabbath, yes, if you don't misuse the Sabbath, if you don't abuse the Sabbath by doing your own pleasure on the Lord's day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, and honorable, and shall honor him and not do your own ways and not find your own pleasure and speaking your own words, what are the results? First, the first number one result is we will delight ourselves in the Lord. That's number one. We will delight ourselves in the Lord. Verse 14, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, to delight in the Lord is to find great joy in the Lord. Yes? It is to say that the Lord is everything to me. He's everything to me. To delight in the Lord is to enjoy Him and to rely on Him for the real meaning of life. Yes, if we are enjoying the Lord, we are actually realizing the real meaning of life. Then how can we enjoy Him? Friends, to enjoy Him, we must observe the Lord's Day as a holy day. If you don't observe the Lord's Day as a holy day, you cannot be enjoying Him. If you really, really want to enjoy Him, we must treat the day, the Lord's Day, as a holy day. We must give that day to Him. Don't rob Him of that day. It is His day. He has sanctified that day. Yes, He has set it apart. He has set apart that day to Himself. It is His day. Observe that day, and we will be delighting in Him. For the Israelites, observing the Sabbath will first of all bring them material blessings. They will be riding on high places upon the earth. In other words, they will be ruling other nations. They will be conquerors, and they will be ruling other nations. And then they will be fed with the milk and honey and the produce of the land, which was the heritage of Jacob, given by God to him. Yes, the Israelites will be enjoying those kinds of privileges. Now, then they would also be enjoying the wonderful blessing of being a part of the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. Remember what God said? I will be your God and you will be my people. They will be enjoying the part in the covenant. Now for us believers, if we observe the Lord's Day, we too will be riding in high places. Will we be conquering nations? Of course we will not be conquering nations. But what would happen, my dear friends, if we truly observe the Lord's Day as the Lord wants us to observe the day? We will be riding in high places in the sense that we will be able to manage our affairs of this earth effectively. We will be on the top of, on the top of the affairs of this world. We'll be in control. We'll be managing. We'll not be snowed under. You know why? Because we will have gotten our priorities right. We will be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First, that will be the first thing that we will be seeking. And if we are seeking God's kingdom first, naturally we'll be coming to the house of the Lord to worship Him on the Lord's Day. We will be worship. We will be definitely worship, observing the Lord's Day as He would want us to observe. Yes. So, and then of course He will add His blessings to us if we have our priorities right. Then, as the children of Israel were fed with the heritage of Jacob, we believers will be fed with our heritage. Now we will have our heritage after life on this earth. Remember the heritage that the Lord has promised us. He has promised us everlasting life. And then He has also promised us this heavenly mansion which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And He has also given us this, promised us this wonderful privilege that one day we'll be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And we shall be like Him. We'll be transformed. My dear friends, we'll be putting on this glorious spiritual body. That is part of our heritage too. So, my dear friends, how do we treat the Lord's Day? Yes, let's treat it as the Lord wants us to treat, based on Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Now, before I close, I'd like to point out that we believers do not observe the Sabbath, observe our Sabbath on Saturday, but observe our Christian Sabbath on Sunday. Why? Because the Lord rose up on Sunday. And this is the pattern set by the early church. They gathered together to worship on the first day of the week, namely Sunday. They did not gather to worship on the Saturday, but on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. You don't have to refer to the verse. Let me read this for you. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So they gathered together to worship. On which day? Saturday? No, on Sunday, the first day of the week. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul gave this instruction. Upon the first day of the week, you see, first day of the week, which means Sunday, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. On the first day of the week, you put your what you have kept in store into God's treasury. In other words, you present your offering on the first day of the week. Now, when do we present our offering? Of course, we present our offering at the worship service. So they gathered to worship on the Lord's Day or Sunday. So that is why we observe Sunday as our Sabbath. Now, we must observe the Lord's Day because God has commanded us to observe it. It is His command. Now, don't forget, it is a moral commandment. In other words, if we don't observe it, we have sinned. We have broken God's laws. Because commandment number 4 is as good as the other commandments. Let's understand this truth. As the Jews observe the Sabbath, we are to observe our Lord's Day. The Lord has set the pattern for us. He worked for 6 days. After He completed His creation, He rested on the seventh day. Likewise, my dear friends, we must observe it as a day of rest. The Sabbath was made holy by Him, set apart by Him, to Himself, to His service, and to His worship. We are therefore to observe the Lord's Day by serving Him, by worshiping Him, by honoring Him. Yes, and remember that the Sabbath is ordained by God, and it was meant to be a sign of the covenant made between God and Abraham and his descendants. Yes, that God was their God, and they were His children. So when we come, when we observe the Lord's Day, we are recognizing that we are indeed God's children, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ belongs to us and we belong to Him. He has redeemed us by His precious blood. And when we observe the Lord's Day, we are also telling the world that my Savior is alive. He lives in me and I live by His resurrection power. And one day, when the Lord comes again, I will be raised up from the dead if I should die before the Lord returns. Then the attitude shown by our Lord to the Sabbath should be our attitude towards the Lord's Day. Acts of necessity, acts of mercies are permissible on the Lord's Day. And how should we and how should we not observe the Lord's Day? What are the blessings that we will receive if we were to observe the Lord's Day? Let us remind ourselves with these words from Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Let's read these two verses again. Together, all right? Then you see how we ought to be observing the Lord's Day and the kinds of blessings that we will be receiving if we were to observe the Lord's Day as the Lord would want us to observe. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. Let's read these two verses together. Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. The Lord bless us in the reading of His most holy and precious word. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your teachings from Your word. Lord, we know that Your word is true, and Your commandment is right, and Your word is truth. Father, we pray that we will all learn to obey Your word, because we know that if we were to obey Your word, then we will receive the blessings that You have in store for us. And this morning, we want in particular to remember the teachings concerning the Sabbath. Enable us, O Lord God, to observe the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, as You would want us to observe. Lord, enable us to give You the glory and the honor that is due unto Your holy name. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.